Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to the book of Luke. And we have been looking at surprises in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And today we come to the message, Merry Christmas from Mary. We are in Luke chapter 1, and I will just say that we have all kinds of people here at North Central. Amen, church?
Amen.
And all people are welcome here, every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. We got single folks here. We've got married folks here. Some folks have been married a long, long time. It's a blessing. And some folks that just got married. Some have children, some don't have kids, but many today watching us online and many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples, and because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Amen. The Lord came to Mary. Christmas, the message of Christmas is coming after you. In the same way that Mary was favored, God has favored mankind by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we have anticipated tomorrow as the day that we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, how are you going to respond to the fact that the Lord is after you? I heard the story about one guy, how he responded from getting a present on Christmas. The pastor of the church went in the afternoon of Christmas Day to check on some things, and he noticed that the baby Jesus in the manger outside the church had been taken. I mean, this was an expensive, big manger scene, and he was really kind of upset about it. So he had a friend at the police, and he called and said, "Hey, I just want you to know, somebody, this is crazy in our neighborhood here, somebody would take the baby Jesus out of the manger scene." And about that time, out of the corner of his eye, he saw this little fella with a wagon. He got to look and he noticed straw coming out of the wagon that had been in that manger scene that they had at the church. And sure enough, he peeked in there and there was baby Jesus in that wagon. And he goes up to the little fella and he says, "Hello, sonny." He says, "Hello, pastor." He says, "I see you're taking baby Jesus in your wagon." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Before Christmas, I prayed and I said, Lord, Jesus, if you'll give me a red wagon, you'll be the first to get a ride in it." I don't know what you're going to get for Christmas, but can I tell you something we're all getting? We're all getting the overture of love from the God creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. Every one of us. And I want you to think about, you know, some of the gifts you've gotten through the years, you know. I remember getting things, you know, as a kid, and things I wanted so bad, things I talked my mom into getting me and things like that. But there's never been a gift that could ever compare. It's not even on the same page that can compare with the gift that we are really going to celebrate tomorrow. And let's let that be our focus. Yes, we give gifts, but let me say this. sometimes we give gifts and we forget whose birthday it is. And we need to think about, what are we giving Jesus? Well, we have been looking at the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've talked about, there's been some interesting things we've looked at. If we examine the lineage, we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus. We see that in the lineage. Genesis actually predicted the coming of Jesus. You know, even back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, these words are said, "He," and this is a capital E, talking about God, "shall bruise your head," talking to the serpent, "and you shall bruise his heel." The devil was always after mankind. But the Bible made it clear in Genesis, all the way back in the third chapter of Genesis, that God was going to get victory. And it is a early Bible prediction of the coming of the Messiah. So Genesis predicted it. The prophets foretold it. Do you know that back in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and we'll read some of this scripture tonight, Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14 said this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." The prophets predicted it. We find it even in the book of Micah, that it will be predicted that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So all of that was predicted. And yet God's people rejected that message. Church family, we must embrace that message, the message of Jesus Christ. And we have an example today of someone in our lineage, in the lineage we're studying today, that embraced that message. Now, the Lord sent more prophets. When the prophets were rejected, they sent more prophets. Now, listen to this. Finally, after all those prophets had been rejected, there was silence. 400 years between the testaments. 400 years as a period where God was not giving new information as he had done in the past. Then all of a sudden, the silence was broken, and Gabriel announced that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born. He announced that Elizabeth was going to bear John the Baptizer, and then that Mary, in our passage today, was going to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. There was all that silence. Now, all of that silence that was there, those 400 years of silence. In our lineage study this year, this Christmas, we have looked at all the different people that were there. You remember Tamar, you remember Rahab, you remember Ruth. They all have interesting backgrounds. Their nationalities were interesting. They're very unusual because of personal baggage that many of them carried. Problems, problems, problems. Now, what does this tell us? What have we learned about it? Number one, we've learned it tells us that we can all be included in the gospel story regardless of our background. The gospel story is the Christmas story. So no matter what your background, get this message. No matter what you've been through, start today. And say, "Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm going to respond to the Christmas message," all right? So no matter what your background, you can be included. Jesus is wanting you to be included in his gospel message. You are to receive that message. Number two, there's no sin that can't be overcome by the grace of God. No matter what you've done. And one of the verses that we have been quoting together is, "Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds." Repeat this after me. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So no matter what your background, no matter what sins you may have committed, God can overcome that because of the grace of God. The third thing is that we find in God's sovereignty, his overtures of love and forgiveness are to be responded to by an act of trust. Can I tell you something? The gospel message, the Christmas message, is to be responded to. It's not just a story. It's not just something to be read only, but it's something for us to respond to. We have an action to take. We have something of our will to move in order to respond to that decision. Now, Mary was a teenager who was engaged or betrothed to a man named Joseph. She was from Nazareth. Nazareth was an undesirable little town. Did you know, I realize this. Do you know that never in the Old Testament is Nazareth mentioned? I did not realize that. Did you realize that the Jewish historian Josephus, he didn't write scripture, but he was a very accurate historian. He never mentions Nazareth. Interesting. We don't find it in his writings. We don't find it in rabbinical writings. It was kind of a non-town that nobody noticed. Anybody here from a non-town that nobody remembers? Don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. But anyway, Nathanael in John 1:46 said this, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And yet, the Lord bypassed Judea. Judea was the place that all of the activity of the Old Testament centered around, this region called Judea. And really, the town that it centered around was the town of Jerusalem. So you'd think if God was going to go get Mary someone to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have gone to Judea, probably to Jerusalem, and probably something around the temple would have happened. But he bypassed all that. He bypassed Judea, he bypassed Jerusalem, he bypassed the temple. And what did he do? He went to the lowly home of Mary. Now, Kent Hughes was a pastor at Wheaton College, the church there at Wheaton. And he says this, he says, from all indicators, Mary's life would have not been extraordinary. She would marry humbly, give birth to numerous poor children, never travel farther than a few miles from her home, and one day die like thousands of others before her, a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. And yet, that's who Jesus came after. The greatest news ever proclaimed in Israel came to the humblest of people. Now, I want to read our passage today, and I want you to open your Bibles to Luke 1, and I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word, if you'll follow along in your copy. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold," that's the key verse, "behold the maidservant of the Lord." This is what I pray that we would all give. This is what I need to do. This is what I pray you would do today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. We would say what Mary says. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Now she goes and sees Elizabeth and John the Baptizer. John the Baptist is in her womb, Elizabeth's womb. And when Mary introduces herself, the baby leaps. Look at verse 46. And then Mary gives her Magnificat. This is her song of rejoicing. She says, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This is verse 46 of Luke 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, therefore all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Verse 56, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So we see that Jesus was born of Mary, and Mary was from a little town. She had no background that you would have thought she would have been the one. These are surprises in this lineage. Now, let's think about Mary's response to the angel and to all that was happening to her. Here's the first thing. Mary was troubled. It says in verse 29, it says, "But when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled. She was disturbed at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." In verse 28, the angel said, "You are highly favored." That phrase, "highly favored," means much graced. It means to make accepted, to be filled with grace. Now, it doesn't suggest in any way she merited this grace. She had nothing to do with it. God is the one who chose her to be graced. And so she was highly favored. In verse 28 says, "The Lord is with you." And then in verse 30, it says she's favored. It's the same word. And then it says in verse 29, she was troubled. It means to be disturbed. It's similar. Go back one page in Luke chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, "And when Zacharias saw him," talking about the angel, "he was troubled." Same word. She was troubled. Zacharias was troubled. And then in verse 29, it says, "But she considered what manner of greeting this was." See, in verse 34, she was basically saying this doesn't make sense. In verse 34, it says, "Then Mary said, 'How can this be? I do not know a man.'" What would people think? She was espoused to Joseph, but they had not been married. How were people going to respond when this came out? Well, in verses 32 and following, actually 32 and 33, Gabriel goes into a fivefold description of who Jesus was. He was great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. By the way, this was predicted in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 13. Church family, the coming of Christ was so predicted all over the Old Testament, and then it is filled to the T, exactly the way the Scripture says it. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 13, it says, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Talking about the coming Messiah. This is who Jesus is. So Gabriel gives her this fivefold description of Jesus. The third thing, the Lord will be with him, will give him the throne of his father David. The fourth thing, he will reign over the house of Jacob. And the fifth thing is he will do it forever. There will be no end, he says to it. Now, I want you to consider the call of God upon your life. The Lord may be calling you to some things. First of all, he's calling you to salvation. And you may wonder, with my background, I don't know that I could really be a follower of Jesus. Well, we know that you can. He's used all these different people in the lineage to show us that he would take us just the way we are if we would yield to him. But the Lord may also be calling you to an assignment, to do something, to make a difference in somebody's life. And I think about the people in the Old Testament who the Lord called. Think about Moses. Remember Moses? Moses had Aaron, but Moses said to the Lord, "What am I going to say to Pharaoh when I go?" And the Lord said, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." Some of y'all may remember a singer, Ken Miedema. He was a blind pianist, and he used to have a song about that. He'd sing, talking about Moses being scared to be used by God to bring the people out of Egypt. Ken Miedema had that deep voice. He said, the Lord was talking to him, and he'd say, "What's that in your hand, Moses?" And then Ken Miedema sang, "A rod." God said, "Throw it down, Moses." And it became a snake. And God used that in Moses' life to say, whatever you have, God can use you. With the gifts you have, God can use you. And so you think about Moses, you think about Jeremiah, you think about Daniel, how God used young Daniel. Well, guess what? The Lord is coming to you. I want you to think about, at Christmas, consider the Christmas overture of love to you, how that God wants you to be used. And the truth is, the Christmas grace must be answered. You will give a response. I will give a response. You must answer to the grace of God. Now, not only do we see that she was troubled, but here's the second thing. Mary was teachable. Because in verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary responds with acceptance. She was teachable. And church family, the Christian life is not for the haughty. If you are determined, and I am determined, to be my own God, Christianity is not for you. Now, one day, you'll come to the end of your life and you'll realize I have mucked it all up. I've messed it all up because I've gone my own way. Don't do that. Realize today that you need to yield yourself. You need to be teachable. The word teachable in the scripture means meekness. It means to be teachable. And she said in verse 38, she says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold.'" That comes from a word that means to see. She basically was saying, "God, look at me. You see what you're getting." The Lord really knows you, doesn't he? Mary knew that God knew her. And she said, "Behold." In places in the old King James Bible, this was translated, "Lo." Remember that verse? "Lo, I am with you always. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She says, "Lord, look at me. I want to be your bondservant." And then she uses this phrase that is just so impacts me. "Let it be to me according to your word." She put herself at God's disposal. Can I tell you this? That is the Christian life. You put yourself at God's disposal. You live your life with an open hand. "God, These feet are yours. They're not mine. These hands are not mine. Whatever you want me to do with them, I will do. These eyes are going to look at what you want me to look at. These ears are going to hear what you want me to hear. This mouth is going to say what you want me to say. This body is going to go where you want it to go. That's the Christian life. You accept the gospel of Jesus. Jesus died for your sins. You give him your life and you make him the Lord of your life. There's no middle ground with that. You are saying, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. She put herself at God's disposal. We think it's impossible, but just like this young man right here quoted, I didn't even ask him, but I said, what is the whole meaning of Christmas? And he looked at me and he said, there's a verse about that. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. So she said, let it be to me according to your word. She put herself at God's disposal. F.B. Meyer, great author from the 1800s, F.B. Meyer wrote all kinds of great books about the victorious Christian life, and he told the story of his ministry had no power, and he heard C.T. Studd. You've probably heard me talk about C.T. Studd. He was the great cricketer from England, and he was a great athlete, a hero in England as an athlete, and C.T. Studd decided to go to China to take the gospel to China, and F.B. Meyer heard him, and it challenged him to make Jesus the Lord of his life, not just his Savior, but his Lord. And so F.B. Meyer wrote a little pamphlet about giving Jesus all the keys. He said, I felt like that I said to the Lord, these are the keys to the rooms of my house. And then he said, Jesus said to me, are those all the keys? And he said, well, they're the keys to every room except one little room that I keep for myself. And Jesus said, if I'm coming in, I want all the keys. And F.B. Meyer had a crisis of lordship in his life, and he said, I finally yielded. He finally became teachable, and he gave Jesus all the keys. It happens in so many people's life. You think about victory. You want victory in your life. And one of the reasons there's no victory is because you haven't given him all of you. All of you. Mary gives us the pattern today at Christmas. Let it be to me according to your word. She was teachable. Now, the third thing. She was transformed. And we go into her response in this song that begins in verse 46. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And I love that part in verse 49. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. I keep wanting to go to that song, Robert. My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. Thank you, that was good. But what I was going to say is, this is what Mary does. She's transformed, and she sings, and she says, my soul, and this word for soul is not the material, but it's the immaterial. Can I tell you this? The soul in the Bible is the real you, deep down in your heart and life. Many times the Bible uses the word heart to make up your mind, your will, and your emotion. It is your will. It is your soul. It's the real you. And she says, my soul magnifies. The word magnify means to make great. And then in verse 47, it says, and my spirit rejoiced. It means to jump for joy. My life jumps for joy. And then in verse 48, for he has regarded. And the word regarded is another word like behold or lo, and it means to gaze. God has gazed upon me. God has gazed upon you. And God has gazed upon Mary. And she says, for he has regarded, he has gazed at the lowly state of his maidservant. And the lowly state is referring to the sinful way. From all indicators, her life would not be extraordinary. She was very much from a humble background. And then in verse 50, she said, and his mercy is on those who fear him. So this is the message of Christmas, that the Lord is giving overtures of love and mercy to those who are sinners and in need of repentance and in need of salvation. And when we turn from our way, we have to be teachable. We have to be yielded. You cannot have you being the Lord of your life and then receiving Christ Jesus, and that's not compatible. You have to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. A great theologian was asked one day, what is the greatest theological thought you've ever had or that you know of? And I love his answer. He paused and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus Christ loves you. I mentioned Kent Hughes, that pastor in Wheaton. He says this, the Lord comes to needy people, those who realize that without him they cannot make it, those who acknowledge their weakness and spiritual lack. The incarnation, salvation, resurrection, Christmas are not for the proud and the self-sufficient. So we see Mary was troubled, Mary was teachable, Mary was transformed. Merry Christmas from Mary. So what do we learn? In conclusion, it tells us that we can all be included in the gospel story regardless of our background. The gospel story is the Christmas story. It tells us, number two, that there's no sin that can't be overcome by the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And then number three, in God's sovereignty, his overtures of love and forgiveness are to be responded to. You must respond. Kelly's dad used to tell us this story every Christmas. He'd say, there was a Christmas Eve service. It was a snowy day. And the family was getting ready to go, the kids and the wife, but the dad determined he was not going to go. He was just sitting in his chair reading his paper. And so they went to the service, and it was a big snowstorm outside, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he heard something bang against the door. He realized it wasn't the door, it was the glass. And it was so cold, and it was so windy, and the snow was swirling, and there was a few birds trying to get inside to the warmth. They could see in the glass that it was bright, and there must have been warmth coming off there, and so they were trying to get in. The other day I had a bird in my house, by the way. Getting the bird out of your house is no fun. You know what I did? I opened the doorways to go that would go out, and eventually it got to room after room, and I closed every door behind it, and eventually it flew out. But this man, he saw those birds, and he thought, I'm going to get them in the barn. My barn is warmer than it is outside. And so he went and opened the barn, and he kept trying to shoo them in the barn. They were scared of him. Every time he'd get close, they'd go away. And so he got frustrated, and he just thought to himself, he said, you know what? If I could just be a bird, if I was a bird, I could tell them. I could communicate to them that they should go in the barn and they'd be okay, that it would be safe in there. But he couldn't. And so the birds just flailed around. And then the bells from the church rang on Christmas Eve. And all of a sudden, a light came on. He said, you know what? That's what Christmas was all about. Mankind is frailing around, trying to solve its own problems, trying to get in the warmth, trying to find life. And man is messing it up on his own, but God sent his own son as a man. That's what tomorrow is all about. The overtures of God's love at Christmas. We have a choice. We can be teachable or we can be our own God and try to run our own life. Mary gives us the answer. She says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." I'd like to ask you to bow your heads in prayer this morning.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.